Deva Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I will read first verse 3, which does not have a purport, and then we will chant verse 4 together.
Tato jagama bhagavan.
The next one. Yeah.
Tato jagama bhagavan amoganugraho vibhu pujito suravaryena stuyamana pujeshvarai.
Translation. Then Lord Brahma, who awards infallible benedictions, departed, being worshipped by the best of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, and being praised by great sages and saintly persons. Text 4.
Evam labdavara daitya vibrat hemamayam vapuha Bhagavati akarot dvesham varatuvadham anusmaran evam labdha varo daityo bibrade mamayam vapu Bhagavat yakaro dvesham Bharato vadam anusmaran Evam labdhavaro daityo Vibradde mamayam vapu Bhagavat yakaro dvesham Ratur vadam anusmaran Evam labdavaro daityo Vibrad dema mayam vipu Bhagavat yakkaro dvesham Ratur vadam anusmaran
Ladies, please. Evam, thus, Labdhavara, having obtained his desired boon, Daitya, Hiranyakashipu, Bibrat, acquiring, Hemamayam, possessing the luster of gold, Vapu, a body, Bhagavati, unto Lord Vishnu, the Supreme. We'll do it in two parts. Unto Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akaro, maintained. Vesham, envy. Varatu Vadham, the killing of his brother. Anusmaran, always thinking of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The demon Hiranyakashipu, having thus been blessed by Lord Brahma, and having acquired a lustrous golden body, continued to remember the death of his brother, and therefore be envious of Lord Vishnu. Please repeat. The demon Hiranyakashipu, having thus been blessed by Lord Brahma, and having acquired a lustrous golden body, continued to remember the death of his brother, and therefore be envious of Lord Vishnu. Purport. A demoniac person, in spite of acquiring all the opulences possible to obtain in this universe, continues to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I therefore offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here we have a prime case of envy, which is developed into tremendous revenge. Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, cannot forget the fact that Lord Vishnu killed his brother. Not only can he not forget the fact, but he is incensed. He is enraged. He boils night and day with such a vengeance as to feel that he must take revenge upon this Lord Vishnu. Actually, he regards Lord Vishnu as simply another one of the demigods. We know this from the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, he makes it very clear that he regards Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the good qualities that he is ascribing to Lord Brahma really belong to Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu allows Lord Brahma to manifest many various abilities and qualities, such as the creation of this universe, and also manifests many wonderful qualities which he developed over thousands and thousands of years of austerity. So he actually became a pure devotee of the Lord, and he earned the privilege, if you will, to be a creator of this universe. 8,400,000 species. He got the DNA code from Lord Vishnu for each one of these, and he enabled all of these different creatures, plants, vegetation, marine life, all of them to be created and to develop, including the 400,000 species of human beings. Coming back to the main point, Hiranyakashipu is boiling with rage. And we need to ask ourselves, do we ever feel vengeance? Do we ever feel hostility? Do we ever feel revenge? Somebody has done something to us. Someone has done something to perhaps one of our relatives. Or someone has done something to perhaps some of our property. And because that property or that person has been hurt or has been harmed, we feel, I've got to get that. You know what? I've got to get that person. And I'm going to get that person if it takes my entire life. There's so many people who have this kind of vengeance. And they seethe with it. They surge with it. They live with it night and day. They plan. They scheme. They figure. They contrive. How am I going to get this person? Now, in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he can't find Lord Vishnu. He, in the next chapter, canto 8, he does find him, but the Lord disappears. He becomes invisible. But then later on, in this seventh canto, there will be, of course, a major fight. So this is Hiranyakashipu. And we can learn a lot from it. Because although Hiranyakashipu knows this philosophy, this Vedic philosophy, that we are not the body, that we are the eternal soul, that we never die, that our real nature is Satchitananda, eternality, knowledge, and bliss, absolute. He knows this, but he can't apply it. And why can't he apply it? As Srila Prabhupada says, he's not a devotee of the Lord. He's not surrendered to the Lord. He doesn't love the Lord. So he doesn't get the grace. He doesn't get the mercy. He doesn't get the affection which enables one to understand this very lofty philosophy, which is a mystery to so many people. They can't understand it. Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So there it is, right there. If you want to understand this, then you have to surrender to the Lord. And as Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If you surrender only a little bit, you get a little bit of reward. That reward is the grace of God. And the grace of God, in its highest and its greatest and its best manifestation, is that we feel love for the Lord and love for all of His creatures, for all beings. This is the greatest mercy, the greatest grace that we can ever get. Because if we feel love for the Lord, love for Krishna, He also feels love for us. Now, love is expressed not merely by words, I love you, Krishna, I love you, Krishna, I love... It's more than that. Sometimes I see sentimentalists, they will say, oh, I love Krishna so much. What do you mean by love? Well, it's just a feeling in my heart. And that's it. It doesn't go farther. But it's more than a feeling. It is a feeling. But the feeling, as Srila Prabhupada has so beautifully stated, must be translated and translated into devotional service, which ultimately culminates in pure devotional service. So it is by devotional service, as Krishna says in the verse, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. So serving with love, that's not easy. It's very difficult. I know I have tremendous difficulty remembering Krishna when I serve, and then let that alone, to actually express and feel love for Krishna while I'm doing service. But it can be done, and Srila Prabhupada has so aptly and so nicely showed us how it is done. We need to actually pray for this. It's a very difficult thing to do. For example, you're cooking food and you're concerned with the putting the ingredients in, the salt and the pepper and the oregano, whatever you're putting in, how much water, how much ghee. And so the mind is on this. But it can be trained. And it has to be trained to also think that this is for Krishna.
That we're not just cooking something. We're not just chopping vegetables or peeling them. We're not just washing the fruits, but we're doing it for Krishna. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer and give away, whatever austerities you perform, do this as an offering unto me. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, do this as an offering unto me. He wants us to offer to him. And he wants us to offer it with love. And if we offer it with love, then he's pleased. And he begins to feel an obligation to his devotee. And that obligation expresses itself within the devotee's soul. He literally infuses the soul with his own self in the form of pure love. The devotee feels that love. He loves that love because it's his real being. The soul, which is normally covered with materiality, the three modes of nature, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, sloth, gluttony, pride, arrogance, all of these things the soul is covered with. But what Krishna does is when he begins to express his love, he, the super soul, expresses into the soul, and the soul, feeling that love of Krishna, becomes slowly but surely unburdened of these terrible feelings that I just mentioned. Anger, lust, greed, illusion, madness. They begin to attenuate. They begin to thin out. They begin to slowly but surely dissolve by the mercy of Krishna. And when we are free of all of these, there cannot be any vengeance. There cannot be any revenge. Now, Hiranyakashipu was completely identified with his own body. He was thinking, yes, this is me. And yet he professes to understand this philosophy. He says, no, we are the soul. The soul never dies. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. It has not come into being. It doesn't come into being. It will not come into being. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing and primeval. It is not slain where the body is slain. So he knows this, but he can't apply it. Consequently, he identifies himself with his material body. And whatever is connected with or related to his material body, he considers to be a part of himself. And because Hiranyaksha, being his brother, being of the same blood, coming from the same mother, Diti, and Kashyapa Muni, he considers him an extension of his own body. We have all come here to lord it over this material world, to increase our power, to increase our controllership, to increase our domination, to increase the sense of I am a controller, I have lordship, I am independent. All of these types of feelings we try to expand and develop. So when we lose something, then a part of us, due to our illusion, feels like it's been lost. A person loses his car or it's stolen. He feels sad because he's identified himself with his car. And he feels like he's become contracted. His lordship is now less than it was when he had the car. In this case, Hiranyakashipu is bereft of his brother. Now, when the two of them together, they made up one powerful couple. Very amazingly powerful. But now, Hiranyakashipu is without his brother. So he's less. He's a lord, yes. And he's going to dominate the entire universe with the powers that Lord Brahma has given him. But he's less of a lord. And anyone who makes us feel like we're less than what we were before makes us feel a little bit of inferiority. It's like a person, for example, he owns stocks in the stock market. And his stock, let's say, is selling at $60 per share. And he feels fine. He bought it at 30, and it's gone up to 60. And he's made a huge profit on this, especially if he has many shares. But then the stock begins to tumble. It goes down to 59, 50.
49, 48, 43,
he's shaking, he's shivering. All of his wealth, all the accumulation, everything that made him feel like a lord is now contracting him. He's becoming a loser. The most thing a person can ever do in this country is become a loser. That's a common phrase. You're a loser. Why? Because that's being contracted to a zero position. You're a nothing. You're a nobody. You're a good for nothing. And if you feel like a good for nothing because your stocks have contracted, then what do? And then it goes down from 40 to 39, 35, 34. Your whole sense of identity is collapsing. You've got nothing. You're nobody. What do in this case? Everybody admired you. Everybody looked up to you. People applauded you. You had a great-looking car. People said, wow, what a Mercedes. That's the top of the line. And you have all this adoration, profit, distinction, and glory. And that's your identity. And then, whoosh, collapse. 2-3 days, it's over. You've got nothing. So some people do different things in order to live with themselves in that horrible condition. They're miserable. Now, Hiranyakashipu had to deal with something similar. But let's take today's people. So what do? They got so many drugs now. You can get, first you start out with a little marijuana. Then you can go from a little heroin, go to some cocaine. You can go to ecstasy. You can go to all these different things, and you can feel you don't even have a problem. You don't even have stocks. You don't have anything. You don't have an identity. You're happy. You're free. It's so wonderful. And then when you finally come down, you're ready to slit your throat. Yeah, because you have to face the reality of, again, who you think you are. And if you think you're just a small, little, insignificant, nobody, loser, the next step is, of course, you can drink yourself to death. You can go up on the Empire State Building and take a swan dive. You can hang yourself. And there are so many people doing that. Suicides are taking place every day. There are more suicides coming out of the armed forces, by the way, than ever before. There are more suicides amongst the teenagers than ever before. They have no philosophy. If they can't be a winner, might as well kill myself. This is unfortunate. Because in our philosophy, it's the very opposite. We are related to the most powerful, the greatest, the most glorious person in existence, which is the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Being related to him, connected to him, not just like a distant cousin, but an intimate friend. It is mentioned that for those who practice bhakti yoga, they are most intimately united with Krishna through that yoga. It is an intimate connection. And the more Krishna conscious we become, the more we become aware of that intimacy. At first, Krishna gives us a little taste of his presence. And as we become purer, the presence grows stronger. And as we become still purer, the presence grows even stronger. Krishna wants us to know that he's watching. He's feeling, he's enjoying all of our devotional service. And he enables us to know this through the presence of himself that he gives us. In the more highest reaches, he actually appears to the devotee. Devotee can see him in the heart, can see him everywhere. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I see Krishna everywhere. That is the dessert. That is the award of surrendering totally to the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Those who are not bewildered are protected by the divine nature. This is the reward, the protection by the divine nature. So Krishna is very eager to have us. He feels obliged to us for our service. And he loves to reciprocate. However, sometimes we become proud, we become arrogant, we become conceited, we become puffed up, we become complacent. We think we're the all in all. We're better than this one, that one, and therefore we begin to feel that we can begin to speak sometimes in a contemptuous way to others who are not so great, not so wonderful. And this is unfortunate, because as soon as that happens, Krishna begins to withdraw that grace that he gave. He withdraws the grace so that you do not feel the inner happiness, the inner presence, the inner love, the inner upliftment, the inner relishment. You don't feel that. You begin to feel a certain dullness. You feel a certain emptiness. You feel a certain vacuousness. You feel a certain dryness and aridity like a desert. And you wonder, what happened to my bliss? What happened to my peace? What happened to my strength? What happened to my joy? Where did it go? Krishna, why have you done this to me? No answer. And the person is wondering, why? He's giving such great service to the Lord. So many people are benefiting, and still Krishna is taking away that gift that he gave. And that's just what it is, a gift. We can never think that we have earned it. No. How can we earn it when we have committed billions of sins for which Krishna enabled us to kind of wipe away the reactions? He's wiped away the reactions, but the billions of sins are basically kicks at Krishna. We've offended him countlessly. But he doesn't care as long as we are trying to please him through the process of devotional service. He can forget. He can forgive. He can ignore. He can neglect. He is not concerned with any of that. He's only concerned what we are doing on the positive level. This is Krishna. How great, how wonderful, how merciful, how divine, how loving. Where can we find a friend like Krishna? Nowhere. Except, of course, in the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. So Hiranyakashipu has a similar situation. He's got everything. He's got wealth. He's got diamonds. He's got jewels. He's got gold. He's got a palace. He's going to take over Indraloka. He's going to live in that palace. There's beautiful gardens. He's got the best of food. He's got Mother Earth. He can just order her to create the most tasty mangoes in existence. And he can live for a whole day on juicy, delightful, succulent mangoes. So Hiranyakashipu has got it all, and yet it's mentioned he's always disturbed. He's always melancholy. He's always morose. How could you be so? If you're a materialist and you've got it all, why should you be morose? Because those things only bring temporary happiness, momentary happiness. Here today, gone tomorrow. And then it's gone. So you go from one pleasure to another pleasure. One pleasure to another pleasure. 5, 6, 7, 10, 20, 30, 50, 70, 100 pleasures. After a while, you're just worn out. You're fatigued from all the pleasure. And you just don't even enjoy it. It becomes a bore. Just a bore. You got it all. You have nothing to strive for anymore. So what does he do? He's got to put out his misery by taking strong-smelling drinks and liquors. That's what it says right in the Bhagavatam. And he gets drunk. And he enjoys, so many women there, and they're just dying to get near Hiranyakashipu because he's got it all. And still he's miserable. He's festering with anger to kill Lord Vishnu, and he can't get it out of his heart. And who is going to enable him to fight his very son? Who is going to become his biggest antagonist and opponent? His very son, Prahlad Maharaj. Can you imagine? You've been boiling for years and years. You've been standing on the tiptoes for 100 years in the time of the demigods, which is thousands of years in our time, just to gain the power, to gain Lord Brahma's position, and to be able to kill Lord Vishnu, who killed your brother. Can you imagine the determination? Can you imagine the will? Can you imagine the fire? It was fire. Smoke was coming right out of his head. Fire was coming out of his head, and it was polluting the entire universe. The demigods had to appeal to Lord Brahma to please stop this madman. Otherwise, the whole universe is going to suffocate from the fire. Of course, Lord Brahma came, and he gave him the benedictions that Lord Vishnu wanted him to give him so that he can ultimately have a nice little fight at the end. So, therefore, if we want to overcome this tendency to want to avenge ourselves for somebody's insult, somebody accidentally hurt you, somebody said something about your name, or something like that. If we want to overcome that, when we have to, of course, develop this love for Krishna. Once we develop love for Krishna and we offer it in the form of loving devotional service, and Krishna is pleased and he infuses the soul with himself in the form of transcendental bliss, well, then that's not going to worry you. It's not going to bother you. Not going to disturb you, because you've got something higher, better, bigger, greater, a consciousness which transcends all of this nonsensical material material activity. In other words, it's not a question of saying, I will detach myself. Krishna detaches you by giving him himself. So if he gives us himself, then no need to actually having to work on detachment. You become detached just as he is. As Krishna says, in one who has unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. So it's like touching, Prabhupada gives that example of the fire, the cold iron rod. You put it into the fire and the cold iron rod becomes hot, and you can use it and touch paper and the paper burns. Similarly, as we become more and more focused upon Krishna through concentrating on him, through the service that we perform, and trying to remember him through that service, by doing such, what happens is that we begin to manifest those beautiful, loving, adorable, enviable qualities of peacefulness, of love, of kindness, of sweetness, of tolerance, of purity, patience, perseverance, forgiveness, forbearance. All these wonderful qualities which are Krishna's become ours. So the easiest, the best, and the surest way is to pray to Krishna that he give us more feeling of love for him, so that we can then pour into our service. While we are performing the service, to remember him, I know I try, I don't always succeed, but when I'm, for example, cutting up some fruits, I'm thinking in my mind, this is for you, Krishna. I'm eating the fruit, I'm thinking, this is for you, Krishna. I try to do this. I don't always succeed. When I am walking, I'm walking for you, the Lord. I'm talking in the back of my mind. I'm talking for you, Krishna. I try to keep the Lord in the forefront of my mind, if possible, so that I can do what he asks us to do. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus, completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. I tell you this because you are my very friend. Because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be freed of the miseries of material existence. And so, this is what Hiranyakashipu should have done, but he didn't. But we have a chance to do what he should have done. We have time, we have our life, but we should not think that necessarily we have 25 years more to live, 50 years more to live. We never know when accident or danger or illness is going to strike. We never know. So we should make good use of every moment of our life. We should think that 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be dead. Yeah. And if we think like that, then we will make the most of every moment. We will think, if I'm going to be dead in 5 minutes, then, oh, Krishna, Krishna, I forgot you. I've ignored you. I've neglected you. Now, please, hear my prayer. You are all I want. You're all I need. Please fill me with yourself so that when I die in 5 minutes, I can go back home, back to you, and love you forever. Yeah, that's what we want. So if we treasure, cherish, hold dear to our heart each and every single moment, no matter what our service may be, whether it's cleaning, whether it's cooking, whether it's book distribution, dressing the deities, do it with love, not just do it. Yes, do it. Good. You get benefit and credit for doing it. But if you do it with love, if the heart is pounding out, this is for you, the Lord. The benefits that we receive, and I say benefits, I mean the reciprocation, because of Krishna's obligation that he feels, will be greater and greater and greater. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to make? No corrections? No disputes? Everybody says, okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Glories to Prabhupada.